is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wage World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to East Side of Town, so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wage World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and www.acornradio.org. A podcast will be available this show on these websites and at affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wage World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're in Thessaloniki, Greece, and we're talking to Spyros Martelos, who is a professor at Aristotle University in the History of Ideas in the Political Science Department. Is that correct, Spyros?
This exactly this.
Well, we got it right. And it's been an interesting time, and we're going to talk about the situation in Greece. Spyros, I've enjoyed spending time with you the last couple of days and learned quite a good deal. Let's start with the crisis in Greece. We know what we read in the papers, fake news, true news, whatever news. But I know from talking to you that it's been very difficult in Greece since the crisis. Could you describe sort of what happened to our listeners?
Long and sad story, to make it short. First of all, the crisis is not over. It is fake news that it's finished. People in Greece live now worse than ever. They live at a level comparable to that of the 1970s, so they have gone 50 years back.
That's a long time.
Yes, as regards disposable income. And big capital always got its share of profits during the crisis. Now, medium capital also becomes profitable again. But people have to live now with salaries that are slashed to a percentage of their previous levels. For example, in the university, we have lost 80% of our state funding. And my income now, my disposable income, is around 1/4 of what it was before the crisis.
1/4 is a huge reduction,
yes,
isn't it? And one of the things that certainly we read is that people's pensions, retirement monies were also sometimes slashed or eliminated. Is that part of what happened too?
Not eliminated, but they have been cut to the bare minimum survival level, and this is very bad because in Greece families are still strong, and during the crisis many families were supported by grandpa's or grandma's pension. You could have a whole family unemployed and they could hold on thanks to the few hundreds from grandpa and grandma. Now they are being slashed for the umpteenth time as a result of a reorganization of the pension system from a redistributive system that used to be before. Now they're trying, first of all, to cut pensions and benefits.
And this is all second, recent, too.
Yes. Second, to make it capitalizing system, like in the States, which, of course, is much worse for the workers.
So their benefits are at risk.
Yes, but there are benefits mainly for capital. What they want to do is to turn workers' savings, because this is what pensions are,
right,
into capital that can be profitably invested by some fat cats.
And this crisis dates from 2011, is that what the data I kept hearing?
The official beginning of the crisis was in the spring of 2011. 2010, actually.
Okay.
But the real crisis had started earlier than that. In 2008, in December, we had the youth revolt because a young anarchist was killed by a policeman center of Athens, And this led to a real youth revolt. Even in small villages in Greece, you had demonstrations, occupations, and support of these people. If the pretext was police violence, because in Greece human life is still important, much more so, of course, when it is the life of a young Greek male, it's different. But it would not start all this if it were not for the fact that the young had felt the effects of the crisis much earlier than...
And was this partially triggered by the financial crisis in the U.S., or was this an independent situation just here?
We did not feel here the financial crisis before 2010, because here the finance minister said, "Don't worry, our banks are very secure. We have not invested in toxic bonds," and all these things. A few critical, radical voices. I was one of them, said all this is bullshit and there is a hole in the economy and we must stop paying the so-called debt, which in fact is a tribute. Modern in our days.
And this is a debt within the European Union to the EU or to banks or to...
It was a debt primarily to French and German banks. Okay. And if capitalism worked according to its own principles, these banks, who had given bad loans, would have to take the consequences. But in today's capitalism, the...
government seems to stand for these banks.
Yes, they are the new aristocrats, the financiers. So the government, with the under the pressure of the European Union, but of course they connived, it was not something.
Right.
They did not want, said, no, no, don't worry, said to the banks, we will give you back everything, and we will ask the Greek people to pay for that. This happened in 1911 when debt had reached a crisis level of 120% of GDP.
Right.
And on the pretext of this unsustainable debt level, various programs of expropriative accumulation were imposed on the Greek people. Practically, capital took all resources and all power. And after 8 years of these programs, today we have debt equal to more than 180% of GDP. And now they're telling us that this is sustainable. Well, when it was 120%, it was not sustainable.
Not sustainable. So now it's 60%
more. Be prepared, yes. In the States, you are going to listen to many more similar tales. Don't believe anything. Don't believe that debt, that paying for the debt will liberate you. The only solution is to delete the debt. This debt is not big, because here we had ministers of the...
Sure, but what you're saying essentially is the debt burden went up 50% from 2011. If it was 120% of GDP,
yes,
and then 180,
yes. And in the
60.
Meantime, they have stolen the riches that had been accumulated by the Greek people, public riches and private riches. They have stolen resources. People now are being paid a fraction of their previous salaries to work on enterprises that used to be theirs, but now belong to some multinational concern.
So
and now, after all this, the debt has gone up.
So you mentioned that in your own case, you'd seen your income go down, your disposable income go down by 75%.
Yes.
Is that common or is that exceptionally bad?
It's not very common, but it's not rare either. It's because I had, as a professor, my professor salary was last 50%. And they had various other types of income that disappeared.
Just disappeared.
Yes.
But your professor's salary from Aristotle University...
It is 50%.
Lost 50%.
Yes, mine is not.
And people still, because they had to hang on to their jobs, just...
Of course, yes.
Went back
still,
to work.
Still, I am among the privileged ones. I have not practically, I have passed through this crisis, and you must know that the Greece crisis, which was an engineered crisis, was not, it did not come because the people were just not going to work or because God willed it or anything. It was engineered by the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, and of course the local capitalists. It is the worst crisis on all counts on peacetime, since archives are kept. It is worse on all counts than your big crisis that started in 1929, in peacetime.
Gotcha, gotcha. So we're talking to Spyros Makaris, who's a professor at Aristotle University. So what was the political response here? Now, it's very confusing once again if you're not in Greece. There was seemed to be a progressive group that was saying they wouldn't pay the debt for a while and got a lot of attention, and then, but what I'm hearing you say and what everyone here in Greece says, this debt has increased and obviously austerity has been on steroids. So is there any simple way to describe the political turmoil and where we are now, Spyros?
If I were to put it into a simple narrative, when the crisis was announced, it had been felt by the youth before, but officially it was announced by George Papandreou, then Prime Minister, who said he was elected a few months earlier, saying, "We've got money.
We're okay.
We're okay." And a few months later he said, "We don't have money, so we must ask for help." And the help would be given by the famous Troika, which is the International Monetary Fund, the European Commission, and the European Central Bank. Now, you may imagine what happened if you are told that the IMF was the least cruel of the Troika.
And that's the International Monetary Fund,
yes,
based in Washington, D.C., which is notorious for
exactly
its investments in... Well, we don't want to go into the IMF, but that, if it was the best, oh my goodness.
Yes, the European Union really destroyed the country. But of course, it was a Pyrrhic victory, because now they have the same problems in Italy, and the Italians say, we will not become like Greece. People in Europe, around Europe, have seen what happened, and there, thanks to the sacrifice of the Greek people, they know what they must avoid. And you in America must be prepared to avoid, because you will hear the same things very soon.
And so after the Prime Minister said, we don't have money and we're going to have to go to what you call the Troika, what happened to the political situation then? Because he didn't last that long, did he?
No, after that we had governments that they all tried to impose the structural reform program, as they call it, of the IMF and the European Union. Of course, this was hugely unpopular. They slashed all the successive governments.
And everyone saw the huge demonstrations in Athens and other cities in response to some of these austerity plans.
We had more than 30 strong national strikes. More than 30, there was a wave of protest between 2010 and 2012.
Yeah.
But after that, people believed that a new party that promised to solve the problems, Syriza, the one that is governing us now, that they would get victory not through self-organization, not through their own strength, but if they delegated power to some very well-meaning people.
Now, what does the name of that party mean in English?
It is Syriza, means League of Radical Left.
It League is not of a radical
league.
Left.
Yes, it is not a league, it is not radical, it is not left. In my opinion, it has become an extreme right party that works for big capital.
But if we look back at that time, when Caesar was first coming into power, it was seen as a brave new wave,
yes,
from the left.
More than that.
Yeah, in the U.S. it had rave reviews in the very beginning. I know some people we were involved with sent people to meet with Sirza and whatever.
More than that, because they said what they said to the people, and the people liked to hear that, and they believed that even though they should not. People around me, from my family, many other people, they were told, and they liked to believe this lie, that we are going to solve your problems without conflict. We will not break with the European Union, we will not break with big capital, and even so, we will solve your problems. We will stay inside the euro, which is an austerity machine.
And they came into office and they didn't wear ties, and they didn't wear ties to the United Nations, and they were young and
yes.
good looking, and
yes.
then what yeah. happened?
And then they
sold. Then comes the deluge.
Yes, then they sold out. Of course, they had sold out much earlier. When they got the government, they just had to manage, from a communications point of view, to manage what they had decided before. What they had to do was to make people pay the debt, to impose a new wave of austerity that was worse than the previous ones. So it was the fifth government in this time, but they lasted more than the previous governments. And of course they're going to fall soon, but they will have done permanent damage in that they disappointed the hopes of the people. They sent abroad the most active part, more than 500,000 Greeks have left, the most active, the most ambitious, and the rest are now in a state of shock.
So, am I wrong? At first they said they resisted the debt, and then they bargained with Germany and other EU players?
No, this is what they say.
But I'm just saying what the press reported, and then they went
yes.
back and said, ask for another vote of the people.
This was the official narrative, but in fact they had not done anything serious. They had not prepared a plan for breaking with the European Union. And this shows that...
So that was just a negotiating
They were
point.
Never serious. Yes, but also the European Union knew that they had not prepared
So it was plan. Worse than a ploy, so, it was a bad bluff.
Yes, exactly. It was, as you said, it
They
a
had
bad
a pair
bluff.
Of twos and they were facing
yes.
a royal flush.
Exactly.
Okay.
There were a few who really believed what they did. Like Varoufakis, like Lafazanis, the left of the leader of the Syriza left. Because inside Syriza, there were lots of real leftists. They had almost half of the central committee of the party. They had many ministers. They had all of them. They were expelled afterwards in the summer of 2015.
Ah.
But yes. But until then, they were very serious. But they had not, even them, they had not prepared for break. So this is the first sign when somebody says that we will win.
But so hasn't the finance minister, was at the time, didn't he write a book fairly recently trying to
he
defend?
He has written too many books.
Too many books. Well, I know he was on tour in the U.S. and New York and elsewhere
yes.
trying to claim, oh, he'd done the right thing. Was that true
no,
or false?
Varoufakis, allow me to say, he's not a leftist economist. Actually, just before the crisis, he had written a book saying why we should not trust any theory, and it was a fairly confusionistic book together with two other professors. At the crisis, he had a very negative stance in the movement against debt, because we were from the beginning, we had an excellent documentary seen by more than 2 million Greeks, called Katastroika, exactly on debt, it was Debtocracy, and I would strongly recommend it for the American public. But Varoufakis was among the people who, at that time we formed a committee against debt, Varoufakis was against us.
Ah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But after that, he hoped that he would find a solution without breaking eggs. And also he had the illusions that he knew the interests of the German and European capital better than they did themselves.
Uh-oh.
He told to Schäuble, let me tell you what is your interest.
Arrogance comes before the fall.
Yes, he was so naive.
Oh, wow.
He's a very good professor on other things, but he showed a huge political naivete. But he did not betray. He was naive. This is what I have to... He had never been a person of the left. But we have to recognize to him, like to Zoe Konstantopoulou, another leader, the president of the parliament, who formed the committee, the Truth Committee for the Public Debt, which did a huge job. I was a member of it. But these people did not betray. The others had betrayed much before the, long before they became prime ministers.
This is complicated stuff, the political economy of an entire country that we're talking about. We're talking to Spyros Martis, who's a professor at Aristotle University. So one of the things that was response from the people is more cooperatives were built. Today we visited a former factory location where workers had tried to build a cooperative there to keep it alive, and it seemed to be a lively group there, sort of, I don't know if this was an anniversary or what the occasion might have been, maybe not so happy news of court proceeding, but was there a real response from the people to try to do alternative things to keep?
Yes, we're talking about Viomé. This was just one part of a huge struggle of the Greek people who responded very creatively to the crisis. They created from alternative currencies to alternative commercial networks to self-help and mutual help networks. Of course, there was a part that was turned to political radicalization, even though some of them became victims of Syriza. But in the beginning, even Syriza present itself as a radical party. But there is a fairly strong radicalism in Greece, and Viomé, this occupied factory, it works for 7 years now. It was workers who faced with unemployment. They said, we will occupy our factory. They had legal claim on it because the owners had not paid their wages. So, yes, they took it, but it was not the courts that they...
And for the listeners,
they created facts on the ground.
Right. For the listeners who might want to look into the factory, it's spelled VIO.ME, and Google will try to take you to Vimeo. Resist Vimeo, that's a payment system. It's VIO.ME if you want to know more about this factory. And it used to be a sort of an industrial factory. It was a concrete... Farage, the French company, was running this or whatever?
No, it was a Greek factory. They just took the first materials from
Farage. Okay.
But they changed the use of the factory, and now they are producing excellent quality natural, biological cosmetics and
soap, I know.
Soap and house cleaning materials,
detergent, and other things.
And all this. And they are being sold at really popular prices through alternative networks all over Greece and all over Europe, actually.
I know when I was in Sofia, Bulgaria last year, they bought supplies from Viomé.
Yes.
So, and there are other cooperative enterprises as well. I know you shop at a cooperative store for food. And
actually, the only things that I buy from supermarket are my cat's food, and sometimes I buy some imported cheese. Everything else, I make it a point never to give a euro to a supermarket or to a commercial cafe. In Thessaloniki, one can live without giving money to those. But even so, this is not enough. Because the state knows how to take your money through taxes and all this.
And Saloniki is an older name for Thessaloniki, yes?
Yeah.
This at one time was the capital of Greece? No.
It has never been the capital of Greece, but it is a fairly historic. It used to be for a short time a capital of the Roman Empire.
A Roman Empire.
But then Christians
came. My mistake, right. Right. There are, you'll be walking down a busy street and pass a relic of the old days. We have another 5 minutes to go, and luckily this topic is... So what is the court case that the festival was meant to raise money to deal with?
The owner of the factory tries to sell the factory to somebody else, but the workers resist and they say, no, we have rights, because the Greek penal, the Greek civil code, still they have rights.
Okay.
But. Now they're going to erode this. At the time of the dispute, workers' rights came before banks' rights. But now it is creditors' rights and banks' rights that come before workers' rights.
This is a big issue in the United States as well, as getting workers' rights in terms of wages and pensions ahead of creditors. We thought we'd made progress recently on that in the United States, but now we're not sure with the new Treasury Department and other problems. Now, was this factory takeover rare, or were there lots of these kinds of situations?
There were a few other cases where they tried around Salonika, one at the wood factory. But the only ones who managed to keep their self-managed character and to have commercial success, because now they have doubled their workers.
Good.
They live decently, without bosses, they organize production. This is the only factory, but actually there is a wave of cooperatives around Greece. But they can be cafes, they can be shops, they can be agricultural cooperatives, but not factories.
Gotcha. When I was last here, I met people who are organizing to resist foreclosures and evictions. Is that still a
there
problem?
There is a huge movement against this, and it's a huge injustice against people who had borrowed from the banks. And
so have lots of people lost their homes?
Not yet, but now they changed the law. There is huge resistance. It is a make or break issue for a few governments, for the last governments. And now they're trying to do it. There's going to be a big conflict, mainly Popular Unity, a party that seceded from Syriza in the summer of 2015, and Antarsia, an organization of the anti-capitalist left, they are organizing very strongly. They give every Wednesday, the auctions are every Wednesday, they are in the courts and they are giving battles against the police.
So we'll have to keep up with that story. Spiros, if people, this has been a complicated bunch of stuff we've tried to squeeze into a half hour. If people wanted more information and wanted to ask you about what's really happening or go to a website, what would you recommend?
There is not in English any website that would give, there used to be, but they have been bought off by Syriza. But I don't have any website to recommend, unfortunately.
We listened to a group called Omni TV.
Omnia TV is very good, but most of it's a web TV.
People can use Google Translate.
Cooperative, yes.
Can we give them that website? I think it was
Omnia TV. Omnia, O-M-N-I-A dot TV.
O-M-I-N-A dot TV.
Yes, and if you add Greece, perhaps it would be helpful. It is a very good source of news. Another source, good cooperative source is Press Project, as you heard, if you
Google spelled in English, Press Project, PRESSPROJECT .org.
Yes, Greece. If you
Greece,
put
GR.
There, you will find good information on Greece.
And if people wanted to support the project at VOME, what should they do?
I would suggest to contact you, and you have the coordinates of VOME.
As they say in Canada, we have the coordinates, so just contact us at wade@affiliatedmedia.org.
Or they could even contact, if they Google VOME, they will find ways to help.
If you can get past Vimeo with Google Translate. I had that problem this couple of days ago. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World. Thank you.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.